This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, afternoon. Thanks for being here. Today, we're going to talk about a number of issues and talk about an organization some of you are familiar with, and I suspect some of you are not. It's called Forest Bridges, and co-founding board member Rick Sohn is in here, and the executive director, Denise Spirit. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
So I guess, first of all, Rick, how did all this start?
Well, it started in 2015 when I contacted a couple of people that I was familiar with who represented conservation work in our area, and my background is in timber. And we asked ourselves the question, can we work together to come up with some solutions for managing our ONC BLM lands and something that'll actually work to improve forest management.
And did you get laughed out of the room?
No. The folks that I talked to actually said, well, let's give it a try. Because they had a long history of working in the with some pretty significant conservation organizations like Pacific Rivers Council at the time. And of course, my work was with timber industry through Sun Studs and Lone Rock, and we said, let's see if we can work together and come up with some collaborative solutions.
It seems like for a lot of the time that I've been down here, which is approaching, well, it's like 3.5 decades, I guess now, it doesn't seem like that long, that people have been on one side or the other, and it seemed oftentimes that you would see events in the community and one group would be represented or the other side would be represented. Was it kind of refreshing to actually get more folks around the table?
It was actually, we were surprised that it could work and that we agreed on as many things as we did. And in those early days, there weren't very many of us. But it was about building trust because we represented really different viewpoints on how things ought to be done. So we basically said, let's see what we agree on and go from there.
Was it kind of a slow start? You just kind of met periodically? How did it evolve?
We actually met almost weekly for a long time. And by now the group has had several hundred meetings, but those early years, it was very infrequent now. And we worked as an informal partnership, I guess you'd say, for the first 3 years. We didn't form a nonprofit until 2018.
And talk about the diversity. I was looking at your board members and just information off the website. Kind of explain about how diverse it is.
So our diversity is to try to represent the viewpoints as broadly as we can and to listen as broadly as we can. We have folks from conservation. We have had folks in the past on our board from recreation. We still have recreation advisors. And, of course, timber industry. And we engage with the counties, although they're not a formal partner of ours. We also work with scientists and tribes, and our effort is to get feedback from as many different sources as we can as we build our proposals.
As you've gone through these discussions, what about the tribal perspectives? What did that bring in that was maybe even new to both sides?
Well, I think it's important to recognize that the tribes the tribes engage as partners with folks, but they're sovereign nations. So they don't collaborate in a way. They're more like sort of a more formal relationship with some of the tribes. But the tribes have been very supportive because I think As we all know, certainly the tribes in this area, they lived in the forest. They lived along the streams. And they utilized the resources, but they were also respectful, and they also really understood the forest really well.
And it seems like in discussions I've had with some of the tribal forestry people that while some of their ideas may start from a different point or a different perspective, they at times really pick up both sides of the environmental side and from more active use of the forest.
That's correct. Because within any tribe, you have very conservation-oriented people, and you have people that may work in the timber industry, or you may have wildlife biologists or attorneys, or the tribes are very diverse.
So Denise, when did you get involved in this?
Yeah, I was hired back in late April of 2022, so it's been a little bit more than a year at the helm.
And what's your background?
I have a background. I largely call myself a builder of organizations, especially collaboratives. I've worked internationally, nationally, more recently in the Portland metro area. I'm really a mission-driven person, so if there's a mission I can get behind or a cause I can get behind, that's really what I've been doing in my career. So overseas, I worked in international humanitarian aid in war-torn countries, as well as post-war in trying to help countries and communities to recover. I worked post-Katrina down in New Orleans, trying to help those communities to recover. I worked in the Southeast in Appalachia on forest management, sustainable forest management and food systems development. And so coming into Forest Bridges, I thought, well, this is a hard problem, but I'm a person that likes to take on hard problems.
And coming from Portland, what did you already know about some of these issues and discussions and the diversity of the opinions represented within the group?
Yeah, well, I was lucky working in metropolitan Portland area. Even though I was an employee of the city of Portland, I was serving at the pleasure of counties who have forest resources, who are small rural communities, who care about not letting a big dog, city make all the decisions. And so part of what I was successful at is being able to get the collaborative of different size organizations, let's say, to be able to be at the table and know one organization to overcome the other or override the other.
Now, you're executive director, but it looks like you guys have other staff as well. Talk about that.
Yeah, we're a small organization, and we have had we've been building. And with building, of course, comes the need for fundraising and being able to have stable funds. But we've had on our staff, in addition to myself, a couple of technical people in forest policy, as an analyst in forest policy and community engagement. And so that's kind of like where we are right now.
And how is the organization being funded?
We have. When I came aboard, one of the reasons why I wanted to step in, besides the mission, was the fact that the board had done a fabulous job on setting a foundation of funding across foundations. So we had private foundations, a couple of counties, including Douglas County, where we reside, and Coos County. And the Cow Creek Tribe has also been very supportive of us, the general public, and some partners across conservation as well as forest industry. And we try to balance our funding, because if there's one thing that a collaborative of this nature needs to be able to establish is a basis of trust for the dialogue and for the solutions generation that we're trying to do, as well as just be transparent and accountable.
And so then you'd have to take a look at making sure you aren't getting, even inadvertently, a higher percentage or too much a higher percentage of funding from one angle or the other then.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have a small budget. Our budget is less than $300,000 a year. We use it quite wisely. We do monitor. There's restrictions on how much we can get, for example. Some donors may want to give us more, but we say no, we really need to keep that balance. And we have, like all nonprofits, an annual reporting of our funding. So you can see our 990 online if you'd like to, or ask us for it. But generally speaking, it's been really important for us to be able to keep that balance throughout our organization, whether it's the board or fundraising, and how we how we facilitate engagements. Because we're not there to pick sides. We're actually there to try to find solutions. And we use a consensus model in our collaboration so that we can achieve greater sort of results rather than making people, you know, walk out of the room, right? But we can't please everybody. We know that, and that's where being an organization that says, okay, well, in using our board to make decisions, you know, what is in the best interests and what will actually be the most effective in terms of the kind of change that we're talking about.
All right, more when we come back. Denise Barrett, Rick Sohn from Forest Bridges, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming up at 1. On tomorrow's program, we're going to go a whole different direction and talk about Douglas Education Service District. They've got a youth development mentor. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about mental health with ADAPT on Thursday and Congressman Cliff Bentz on the program on Friday. Well, we're talking about Forest Bridges, Denise Barrett's executive director of the organization, Rick Sohn, the co-founding board member, and of course, you've been around here for a long time.
I was actually born in Roseburg at Mercy Hospital when it was across the river.
That you've just said all you probably want to say about your age at that point. So talk about this piece of information, Denise, that you put out yesterday regarding All Lands Active Conservation Management for the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument.
Yeah, Forest Bridges has been doing a lot of work. We've developed principles of agreement with our collaboration, which are focused on management of the lands, the ONC lands. But we've also developed proposals and for specific parts of the ONC lands in terms of dry forests and wetter forests. And the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument is an example of largely a dry forest in southwest Oregon. And we applied what we've developed in terms of a dried forest strategy that we call active conservation. And it is a little complex, but we'll try to break it down for the audience. We're really trying to help get ahead of the 100 years of fire suppression and the buildup of hazardous dead fuels in the forests. I think most people living in western Oregon know about that, especially down here in southwest Oregon. But basically, what we're proposing is an aggressive fuel reduction restoration program for the monument. It is trying to work at watershed level for the BLM to be able to do thinning of the forest, as well as a careful application of prescribed fire, so that we can reduce the occurrence or the probability of crown fires, reduce it by 95% in terms of probability. And that means it has to be able to withstand this kind of fire going through the forest so that it will become ground fires as it was in the times when the tribes managed the lands, when there were greater low-intensity fires and maybe up to moderate-intensity fires. Rick, you want to say something about that?
I guess what I would say is that our focus from the very beginning, and Denise has carried this on very well, is that our principal focus is to sustain habitats. But we do it using thinning as a tool. And this is very important in the Cascade Monument, where there are all these special species of plants and so forth that don't exist elsewhere. So the strategy is let's manage the stands and get them the way they used to be, but paying special attention to these special species that are there so that we can conserve those species and sustain them, rather than having it all burn up in fires.
Normally with our dry forest plan, which is about 1.4 million acres of the ONC lands in western Oregon, we anticipate our restoration approach taking 30 years. But for the monument, because of its special diversity and biological wonder, we're proposing that it be done in 5 years, that the Medford BLM district, which manages most of that, we'll prioritize that in terms of its management plans for all of the ONC dry forest lands and the public domain lands that it manages in southwest Oregon. So that would be calling for a lot more resources, but we think it's really important given the threat to the Dry Horse and especially something like the Cascade National Monument at this time.
Now, you've just put this out to the public yesterday. Have you talked directly with the BLM about this?
We've had some conversations with the BLM, in fact, in the last couple of months with the Medford District manager, Elizabeth Burkhard. So she knows our strategy. We've also had conversations with the state director, Barry Bashu, last year, and would intend to have more conversations with him. And we're slowly but surely having these kinds of in-depth conversations with all of the main people at the BLM. And they are invited when we start doing public engagement meetings, which we are starting in September, on September 4th, for the public to know that we're having a meeting from 7 to 8:30 at the Roseburg Public Library, which is to bring in the public and a range of folks to have conversations about our proposals.
Did you say September 14th?
Yes, yeah, September 14th.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, when we talk about the issue of thinning, and we talked about this yesterday, both with Senator Wyden and Senator Merkley, among other topics, it seems like a lot of people say yes to thinning, but trying to get people to agree to how much thinning is where the process seems to get really bogged down generally.
Yeah. I think, Rick, you should talk about that.
The process does get bogged down, and so we have targeted our thinning prescription, let's say, to our goal of reducing the number of crown fires by 95%. Right now, approximately 36% of the fires are crown fires. And historically, it was in the 6 to 9% range were crown fires. We had arbitrarily chosen 5% before a paper came out that talked about this historic 6 to 9%. So we're staying with our 5%. And we went to Oregon State and talked to the forest ecologists there and said, "What if this is our goal, what should our thinning density be?" And we came up with densities of trees that had a reasonable probability of getting us to a goal of only 5% crown fires.
So very complex. How do you, if you got the BLM to just say yes immediately, how does this get funded, or do you have a particular idea on that?
We think that has to be more fully developed, and we've asked the BLM if they could do some modeling of our proposal from not only the technical side, but also to the financial side of what it would cost to be able to implement that. We know that there's some recent legislation or some opportunities with the Inflation Reduction Act and the Infrastructure Acts that have come out recently. And so perhaps they could be applying more of those funds towards that, since a lot of them are for restoration.
Now, about a minute left on the program. Before we go, you mentioned a public meeting coming up. Do you also have information about this that people listening can access online?
We'll be putting out another public notice for this very soon. We just secured the library for September 14th from 7 to 8:30, and then we'll be contacting through our networks as well various people to invite and hopefully be able to get some RSVPs so we can know the numbers. But we're excited about the opportunity to be able to share and get feedback.
Yeah, people, your website address so they can just look and find out more about the organization.
Yeah, simply put in your browser forestbridges.org. That's forest, as you spell forest, bridges together, .org, forestbridges.org, and you'll be able to find us.
Obviously, this is a long-term issue, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it again, but thanks for coming in today.
Thanks.
It's
been great.
Thank you very much, Kyle.
Denise Barrett and Rick Sohn on the program today, 1257. That wraps up Inside Douglas County. Back tomorrow on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.